They say money is the root of all evil. Well, nowhere is it more true than in U.S. politics. The 2012 U.S. presidential and congressional elections were the most expensive in history, costing $6 billion. But who paid this money, and what did he, she, or they expect in return? Hello, I'm Shireh Dion Adnejad, and you're watching Aperture. So how about the American people, the so-called electorate, the 99%? Is it their vote or the top 1%'s cash? Who are the true kingmakers and puppet masters behind the scene? For that and more, let's watch this week's documentary, The Money Lobby.
Last week, the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests.
Campaign finance law has made a mockery of our political campaign season. We really ought to let campaigns raise the money they need and just get rid of these super PACs.
Government makes choices that affect all of our lives, and so we really have to make sure that we get the big money out of our government and get the voters back in.
You have agreed with the characterization that Governor Romney is a liar. Look at him now. Do you stand by that claim?
Is your former staff running the PAC? It is your millionaire friends giving the PAC.
Well, of course it's former staff of mine, and of course there are people who support me. They wouldn't be putting money into a PAC that supports me if they were people who support me.
In a sharp about-face today, the Obama re-election campaign told its financial contributors that they should feel free to contribute to so-called super PACs.
And the race for the White House shaping up to be an expensive general election battle.
We're decreasing the power of average citizens to influence the political outcome of the election, and we're increasing the influence of businesses and commercial interests. I mean, what does this mean not only for the electoral process, but what does this mean for our democratic decision-making process?
We're never really going to get a sense of the magnitude of who was behind the scenes pulling the strings.
Today, 4 years from the excitement of that last election, for the first time, the majority of Americans now doubt that our children will have a better future. It's not what we were promised.
The choice you face won't just be between two candidates or two parties. It will be a choice between two different paths for America. A choice between two fundamentally different visions for the future.
Mr. President, take your campaign of division and anger and hate back to Chicago and let us get about rebuilding and reuniting America.
I ask you tonight for your vote. If you reject the notion that this nation's promise is reserved for the few, your voice must be heard in this election. If you reject the notion that our government is forever beholden to the highest bidder, you need to stand up in this election.
The 2012 presidential race was the most expensive in the history of the United States. Interestingly enough, a significant amount of that money did not come from spending by campaigns, but rather from outside groups. This spending by super PACs and similar groups has changed the face of campaign and elections in the United States. I invited my friends over to discuss this issue and watch the final presidential debate. Terry, who works at a nonprofit at Columbia University, Eneida, a former student of mine who did research on Occupy Wall Street, and Mehmet, a colleague of mine at State University of New York.
I mean, I'm sure they'll address it, but I don't think either candidate is going to say anything different.
So really. Let's so when check it comes this to substance out, guys. It's starting right now.
That we would go after those who killed Americans, and we would bring them to justice, and that's exactly what we're going to do. But
I think the 2004 election, there over $1 billion combined by the two presidential campaigns. So they had spent in total over $1 billion back in 2004. This had been a trend for a while, the increased amount of spending. And of course, that was before the Citizens United decision. So the trend in spending had already been increasing in, you know, massive amounts. Mm. But with the recent Citizens United ruling, spending has increased not just by presidential campaigns, but by outside groups, of course, trying to influence, you know, what's happening in terms of trying to influence voter decisions and influence the public on which way to go. So private interest is now directly involved in the presidential campaigns. Well, I think this has obvious implications about who's running, who can run. You have to be a rich man now to run. Rich man with connections, of course, who can then collect the money that they need in order to be able to run. So what we understand is, as a democratic process, seems more like a...
Right, and what it means for individuals who want to give small amounts of money, I mean, does that matter at all? Like, if I want to make a small donation to a political campaign, like, if that's going to be countered by a huge donation...
You know, it's interesting you say that, because a lot of my friends that were so enthusiastic about voting in 2008 are not voting this year, for the same reason that you said. This is my first time to vote. Because I just became a citizen and I'm looking forward to that. But I'm a little bit disappointed in how the funding is, you know, it's just crowding basically the voices, our voices. And but if we don't vote, then what's left? It's, you know, then the hope is completely gone. At least I know that that's all I have for now. It's my vote. Whether it matters or not, at least it keeps people engaged in the process, in the debate. And hopefully things will change 4 years from now, 8 years from now, where it would really make a difference.
As we're talking about the Super PAC, it's a great example because many would argue this means privatization of politics. Big interests, be it public or private, commodify the public sphere by influencing or sponsoring one or another public entity. And then this inevitably results in lack of transparency, lack of accountability. So then what is democracy? I mean, this is the big question.
Big bosses of the political field, the beneficiaries of privilege in the field of industry, the men who represent that sinister alliance between crooked politics and crooked business, which has done more than anything else for the corruption of American life, are united as one man against the genuine rule of the people themselves. They can't make terms with the men who honestly and genuinely represent the popular will.
After Teddy Roosevelt's campaign was dirtied by a large corporate fundraising scandal, public outcry led to the passage of the 1907 Tillman Act, which is America's first attempt at campaign finance reform, banning campaign contributions by corporations. The Publicity Act of 1910 enacted the first donor disclosure requirements. In 1947, with the Taft-Hartley Act, Congress expanded the ban on contributions to unions. In reaction, unions set up the first political action committees, or the PACs, which went on to become a major force in the world of American campaign finance.
The argument was that labor was now becoming as powerful as corporations and they should be treated the same. And this leads to a new round of campaign finance regulation. In 1971, Congress passes the Federal Election Campaign Act, which has some spending limits in it and a lot in improved disclosure. And then in 1974, in response to Watergate, Congress revises those laws and has now imposes fairly tight limits on both contributions to candidates, spending by candidates, contributions to and spending by parties, and spending by independent groups supporting or opposing candidates, and enhanced disclosure, and also adopts for the first time a public funding system for presidential candidates.
The Supreme Court had a major impact on campaign finance in 1976, where the court said that money is an expression of speech, so therefore individual spending cannot be restricted. Amendments in 1979 to the Federal Election Campaign Act paved the way for what became known as soft money, which allows corporations, unions, and individuals to give unlimited amounts to national campaign committees for party-building activities, famously benefiting Bill Clinton.
McCain-Feingold, which was passed in 2002, and the Supreme Court upholds in 2003, in a way is a restoration of the campaign finance system that existed in the late 70s, early 80s, before soft money and issue advocacy began to drive big holes into it.
In 2010, two major court decisions paved the way for the creation of super PACs. The first one was Citizens United versus the Federal Election Committee. Citizens United is a conservative nonprofit organization that created the anti-Hillary Clinton documentary during the 2008 presidential primary campaign. The organization was stopped from advertising the documentary on TV on the basis of the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act. Citizens United took the issue to court. The court ruled that the parts of the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act violated the First Amendment rights to freedom of speech because it banned political spending by unions and corporations. This was based on the idea that money is essential to disseminating speech. The ruling specified that while corporate or union-backed groups cannot directly campaign for a candidate, they can use their treasury funds to attempt to persuade voters. The majority of court justices concluded that this type of spending would not lead to corruption. The second court case was SpeechNow.org versus the Federal Election Committee. SpeechNow is a nonprofit that sought to raise money to advocate for or against federal candidates. They questioned the constitutionality of the spending limits being imposed on them. The court case concluded that since independent spending is not seen as corruptive, it should not be limited. Therefore, the spending of donors to organizations like SpeechNow and the spending of the organizations themselves should not be limited. Still, as with PACs, these organizations must report donors to the Federal Election Committee. This new breed of political organizations became known as super PACs.
Is now you only need one very wealthy donor to really become a viable candidate.
Right? Exactly.
We had candidates in the primary process who had just one or two rich backers, such as Newt Gingrich, right? Sheldon Adelson, who had funded him for, I don't know, $10 million or so. He just had that, and that's what he was using to be able to run in the primaries.
Right. To say that, and it is extremely frightening because you think about like the Koch brothers and organizations like that, you know, multi-millionaires or billionaires even, and like you say, now they have that freedom where they can just kind of like, you know, put a stamp and say, you know, you're going to be our candidate. But that being said, it's always been. In America, for the most part, it's about money. Rich. I mean, I won't say you have to be a rich man to run because Obama is not really a rich man.
If we're looking at past presidents, you know.
I think that it's all very true. But you know what it makes me think about is that why is this happening? And this is happening because the Supreme Court ruled this way. And that to me is the biggest travesty of all this, this mess. Because why? Why did that happen?
We can argue it's been happening before. It's just much more out in the open. They're much more brazen about openly taking up public space and public airtime and expressing or espousing views,
right.
Trying to influence
but
the
But we had an actual law that would limit the amount, you
They
know,
found
that
ways
could
to
happen.
Get around it, I think, before.
In an environment like this where super PACs are influencing the elections, and citizens, regular citizens like ourselves, are left with very little options to influence the elections. What's the alternative?
Well, maybe it has to do with people you vote in on a local and a state level. I think that may have something to do with it. And
assuming they're more responsive, right?
Right. I think you can possibly have more influence on your representatives on a local and a state level. And I think definitely civil society.
What effect does this have on future elections? Some would argue that it's privatizing politics. So depending on how much you're donating to the super PAC, that will inevitably have an effect on what the outcome of the election will be.
The gathering in my place raised some interesting questions about money and politics, so I wanted to speak to some people who might have some insights. I mean, could the court rulings really have such an impact on campaigning, and if so, to what extent?
Citizens United represented a really sharp break from prior campaign finance jurisdiction, which had understood that the government could regulate money in politics. In Citizens United, Justice Kennedy decided that it was only quid pro quo corruption that might be lead to a justification for upholding campaign finance rules.
The law used to be that if you were very wealthy, like, you know, George Soros or David Koch or Sheldon Adelson, you could spend an unlimited amount of your own money buying ads that voiced your opinion. But if you and two or three other people wanted to pool your contributions, you were limited to doing so to a PAC, which is an organization that promotes candidacy or opposes a candidacy. You were limited to $5,000. There was another case, not Citizens United, a case called Speech Now, which basically struck that down.
How can I spend as much of my own money independently as I want, but I can't get together with two or three of my friends and do the same thing without any limitation? How can that be? And so Speech Now said, yeah, no, that's right. That doesn't make any sense. And so as long as all you're doing is working independently of the candidates themselves, you're not giving money to anybody. You're not making a contribution to a candidate. You're not making a contribution to a party organization. So by itself, that would have meant just plain people. But in combination with Citizens United, which came very close to the same time and said, not only can people do this now, but organizations can do it. Unions and corporations and trade associations and any other kinds of entity can make these same independent expenditures. So now you put these two things together. I can't be limited if I join together with a group, and there's no restriction on the source of the funds as long as we're independent. Now you've got the circumstance, the situation that we faced in 2012.
You are unlawfully obstructing vehicular traffic. I order you leave this roadway now and do so voluntarily.
This is messed up. This means that normal people's voices will not be heard.
There are a lot of people who reacted to the Citizens United decision by saying corporations aren't people, and therefore corporations shouldn't have the same kind of First Amendment rights as people do, as live human beings do. That's a very, very short-sighted position, especially for liberals to take. Virtually every cause organization is incorporated. If you were part of the civil rights movement, it was carried through the NAACP and other civil rights organizations that were incorporated. Every cause is carried by an organization of citizens whose private contributions support the cause through an organization that was incorporated. So to say that corporations don't have First Amendment rights is to say that the NAACP is not free to speak in the 1960s.
In 2012, the top three super PAC spenders were Restore Our Future, American Crossroads, and Priorities USA Action. Between 90 and 100% of spending done by these groups was used for attack ads. So what are the super PACs and what do they do?
Put an end to the politics that would divide a nation just to win an election. And walk the walk.
A new attack ad by a super PAC backing President Obama basically blames Mitt Romney for a woman's death from cancer.
And this ad basically accuses Mitt Romney of practically killing her. Is that the kind of rhetoric you want to hear, especially a president who ran 4 years ago on raising the level of rhetoric?
Well, you do know that we don't have anything to do with Priorities USA.
They're not telling the truth.
We don't have anything to do with Priorities USA. We're not allowed to coordinate with them. We don't have anything to do with Priorities USA.
I'm Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Super PACs is just a term that was coined to describe political action committees that are independent expenditures only. So there's a lot of ways in which money flows through our system. And in the past, it has often gone primarily through either directly through the parties or directly through the candidates themselves. There have also been some outside moves towards outside spending, principally growing in the last decade, but we really hadn't seen too much of a move towards that prior to, of course, the decision in Citizens United.
So let me just quickly encapsulate what the big problem with super PACs is. I mean, the first problem with super PACs is that you are giving very wealthy individuals an opportunity to inject large sums of money into a presidential campaign. And that then makes the candidates more incumbent on appealing to them than appealing to the larger electorate. So that large amount of money is going against the democratic process.
One of the biggest issues that we've seen with super PACs and with the rise of this unlimited contribution vehicle is that they are also a conduit for dark money. What the California Fair Elections Practices and Stephen Colbert have referred to as legal campaign money laundering.
I am proud to announce that I am forming an exploratory committee to lay the groundwork for my possible candidacy for the President of the United States of South Carolina. I'm doing it! Drop him, Jimmy! Taking this country back. Thank you. God bless you all. And God bless Citizens United.
Stephen Colbert making headlines this morning. He saw an opportunity when the Supreme Court loosened campaign spending laws. And so now his request will affect other players in the upcoming campaign. This one, no joke.
We won. And so can you. Because I don't know about you, but I do not accept limits on my free speech. I don't know about you, but I do not accept the status quo. But I do accept Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. $50 or less, please, because then I don't have to keep a record of who gave it to me.
One of the most exciting things I found out about having a super PAC, and it all happened by accident. I just said, you know, maybe let's get the URL, ColbertPAC.com, just mm-hmm. for fun, for my show. And the network called and said, you just bought a political action committee website. Are you really going to get a political action committee? And I said, why do you ask? Mm-hmm. And they said, because if you do, that could be trouble. And I said, well, then I'm going to do that.
I like that.
But
the
most amazing thing is I found out is that there is almost nothing that's against the law when it comes to spending political money.
The Colbert Report did a remarkable job using satire and humor of explaining the inadequacies of the current campaign finance system, demonstrating what a super PAC actually is, how there's this farcical notion that the super PAC is not coordinating with the candidate. And then showing how, through the super PAC, then the dark money group where he transferred the money to, and then showing how from the dark money group, it disappears off the face and goes to a charity and no one knows where the money has come from, what it's being spent for. This was happening as he was doing this satire on the air. It was happening in reality.
Thank you so much for being here. John, let me ask something. Are you here to offer to take over Colbert Super PAC?
I'm not even gonna diminish. I won't offer. I'm honored. I would be honored. But can I, if I may, can we do this? Because you and I are also business partners.
Yes, we're business.
We're about to open up that combination bagel shop
and travel agency.
Yes. From Schmear to eternity. So I don't know.
Is that a problem, Trevor? Is being business partners a problem?
Being business partners does not count as coordination legally.
Great. All right. Well, that's pretty good. Yes.
I assume there's reams of complicated paperwork to be executed before we transfer the reins of power over something as critical to our very foundation of democracy as a super PAC.
And Trevor,
I brought the one document with me.
Oh.
Why should everyone care? Because if you're not able or if you feel disempowered as an individual to make a difference or to influence the decision-making process of your elected representatives, chances are you're going to lose faith in the political establishment. And once you lose faith in the political establishment loses legitimacy to govern you. In other words, once the bond between citizens and the government ceases to exist, for whatever reason, I mean, the super PACs may be one way of facilitating this, this unfortunate process. Because of the way media portrays politicians and because of the way politicians are communicating with the people, the public is becoming cynical of the entire process.